Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 7:30 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, every week, this is awesome. Greg Cosell is going to be joining us, NFL analyst, senior producer in NFL Films. And he is going to be this. Nobody breaks down.
We had two
down
first choices: Sage Rosenfels to talk Texans, and Greg Cosell to talk NFL Texans. Pretty much whatever we got both. The first pick and the second pick.
Yeah, we got them both. Well, I thought Cosell was the number one, but well, you could go.
No,
you
I
go
did
Sage.
Have him.
Yeah.
No, I do have him one.
Greg Sage Cosell is joining us right now on ESPN 97.
I don't know if Sage can talk about every team. Greg Cosell. I watch a lot of tape on college football players. The only guy who watches way more tape on a consistent basis is Greg Cosell. Greg, do you watch every game every week?
But first of all, this is probably what you tell all the girls, right?
That yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're my first choice.
I have to butter you up.
I know the routine here, guys. I know the routine.
You've been with us before, and we really appreciate you being. He's going to be with us every week right here, breaking down all the games. And it's going to be on Friday, so... Do you watch every single NFL game?
Well, in the name of full confession, that's hard for me to watch every game every week in full. I get through a good amount, and then I'll watch bits and pieces of the games I don't get through. And then, of course, during the season, I'll come in on Saturday as well and catch up on things that I didn't get to during the week. So when all said and done, by week three, week four, I've seen every team to some extent, and then I just keep doing that throughout the season. But I can't watch because obviously I've got my NFL matchup show where they tell me I'm a TV personality these days, so I got to do that. So, I got to prepare for that, and that takes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's hardcore preparation for the games
for those games,
I have to watch everything.
Yeah. You recognize the name.
Right. Greg Cosell with us here.
No, you recognize the last name.
Oh, yeah. Cosell?
Yeah. Greg, you want to tell him your relationship to Howard?
Well, Howard is my uncle. He was my dad's brother. So, but it's funny. There's a lot of people who are young, younger
kids.
Yeah.
Because
Howard passed away in 1995, which, we're going on 30 years there. So, sometimes I'll see 25, 30-year-olds, unless they study sports journalism, they have no idea who he is.
Well, here's the deal, too, though. I'm pretty sure, I don't know this. But your deal with us now is that we're forcing you to watch Texans games.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you
were. Well, we'll see how much we do with that. We're going to talk to you. Unless the Texans, all of a sudden are 8-0, which, my sense is that's not likely to happen. I don't think I'm bursting anybody's bubble by saying that.
Says you. Greg, So this was one of the worst defenses in NFL history last year. But we're seeing a bunch of turnovers. Takeaways, because Lovey doesn't like the turnovers. He likes takeaways. But we're seeing a different philosophy. Four takeaways last game, three the previous game. Can Lovey make that big a difference in this Texans defense this year?
Well, first of all, let's understand that it's preseason.
Right.
So let's not use that as our guidepost to determine what the season will be. I think every defensive coach talks turnovers. Some may coach it more than others. Lovey's history, and again, I don't know. Maybe you guys know. I don't know if he will continue to be a strong cover two guy or if he's evolved because the league has evolved. It all depends, I'm sure, on what he feels about his corners. He's obviously got one very good one in Roby. I guess they're trying to figure out who's going to line up opposite him. They do have Mitchell, who is a free agent from Cleveland, who was a starter. So we'll see how they decide to go in terms of what their foundational coverage concepts are. And then the big question becomes, though, if you do want to play cover two, as you guys know, that's a four-man pass rush with your D-line for the most part. And can they get pressure with this D-line group?
Yeah, Mitchell was a starter, but what does that mean? Because he wasn't, by all accounts, he wasn't a good starter.
Well, look, Lovie is going to make a big difference in terms of getting guys. I think the biggest difference that I've seen already, Greg, and yes, it is preseason. You just try to glean what you can. I think the biggest difference is the discipline in maintaining your lane integrity from a run fit standpoint. J.J. Watt was the greatest Houston Texan ever might be J.J. Watt without, you know, defense player of the year three different times. J.J. was also, as you know, a chronic freestyler. He would not always maintain his lane integrity. And I think run fits and pass rush lane integrity, I think it's going to be much more disciplined under Lovey, which is a good thing.
No, and I agree with that. Watt was so physically gifted. I actually used to have this conversation with a guy who worked with me for years on the Matchup Show, who was a former NFL D lineman, and he played at Notre Dame. Actually played with Tuck in Notre Dame back in the day, and he would always tell me, he said, he's doing things that you would never teach and you wouldn't ask a guy to do within the context of a defense, but he's so good at it that he could still make plays. So your point's correct, Lance. So the question is, you know, if they just play with greater integrity, greater gap discipline, will they just be better because of that? But the key question in a league in which the ball gets thrown a lot is, although they're in a division where they're going to have to stop the run, but the ball does get thrown a lot in the NFL, is can they rush the quarterback with four, or do they have to start bringing five?
That's the key for Lovey, too. He loves rushing four. You know, what he's shown a lot in the preseason, which I think is a little unusual for Lovey Smith, and I know he hasn't been in the league for a little bit, Greg, but you watched him all these years. He's doing a lot more twists with blitzes behind the twists. Like, he is creating some schematic pressure that I don't remember him doing it that often when he was with the Bears.
And that's evolving and seeing what the NFL game is. The other thing that I bet you'll see him do, and more teams have done this over the years, is what we call zone exchange pressure, where you still rush four, but the fourth could be the slot corner. It could be a safety. So you still have seven in coverage, but you're rushing a faster, more explosive athlete. And very often that athlete comes off the edge. And so you still are just rushing four with seven in coverage, because defense, very often pass coverage is a numbers game. You would like to be able to pressure with four, because then you have seven in coverage. And then you have two more than the five eligibles that they can send out. But if you can't rush with four, you have to start bringing five, because you have to impact the quarterback. In this league, as you guys know, if you can't impact the quarterback, and it's not about sacks, it's about speeding him up physically and mentally. If you can't impact the quarterback, it's very, very difficult to play really good pass defense.
Yeah, if you've got four, isn't that how the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
You mean going back to 2007?
And 11? Yeah.
If you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, not every team can do that with consistency in those, you know, third down situations. And that's what you're really talking about. You're really talking about third down, because obviously in normal down and distance, first and 10, second and four, teams pretty much just play their defense. And then they're counting on the integrity of the defense. But when you get into third and seven, third and nine, you've got to be able to speed up the quarterback.
And I'm not, let's not mistake this, Greg. I'm not comparing the Texans defensive line to the 2007 Giants.
Oh, I thought you were making a direct comparison.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5.
See if you can name the four. I know Greg can. It's Umanura, Justin Tuck, Michael Strahan, and who was the fourth?
Oh, geez, I can't even remember that. But they went with that NASCAR group.
Yeah, the NASCAR group.
At that time, that was kind of a little...
That was a turning point where teams start... You know, every once in a while, someone will come up with something, and it becomes a big turning point. I want to ask you this. We talked to Jimbo Fisher. We were with the Texas A&M head coach, and he's talking about going to... You know, he's got two really talented tight ends, and... So we started getting in a personnel grouping conversation about 12 personnel, which is one back, two tight ends.
Yep.
And 13, one back and three tight ends. And I brought up Gary Kubiak. And I think with Kyle Shanahan, you know, Shanahan also learned under his dad and Gary Kubiak. And he was here on the Texans staff for a while. You know, that two tight end set, we see a lot of two tights around the NFL. And this is a general question, not a general NFL, not a Texans question, but can you talk for a second about that ability to go to the two tight end set, what a huge difference that has made. I remember Bill Belichick was looking for his two tight end set before he came up with Aaron Hernandez and Bill Belichick. He had drafted David Sloan and Garrett Mills, I think it was, out of Tulsa. He knew he had an advantage he wanted to take advantage of with two tight end sets.
You could go back to the late 70s and talk to Bill Belichick when he was a special teams coach with the Lions, and they had David Hill and Charlie Sanders. And that was really when teams, again, I don't want to say it was the first time because nothing's first really, but you could go back then to two tight ends. But I'll answer the question this way. I think that base personnel, whether it's two tight ends or even two backs, okay, think of it this way. We know that what that predominantly does for a defense in normal down and distance situations is they stay with their base personnel on defense, whether it's a 3-4/5-2 front or whether it's a 4-3 front. But the point is they have four defensive backs on the field. So if you can split out, detach from the formation, tight ends and or a running back, then I think you're presenting some issues for the defense, and it wouldn't surprise me to see teams do more of that. I wouldn't be surprised to see teams go more out of 21 personnel this year, whether it's a fullback or even what they call the pony package with two running backs. Because if you can spread the formation out of a base personnel package, I think that poses some problems for the defense.
Absolutely. Greg Cosell with us here for a couple segments every Friday on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got a lot more to talk about, so don't you go anywhere. Right now, though, let's talk a little bit about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. This is the best dealership I've ever dealt with, and it's not even arguable. I love these guys, and here's the deal, is they put me in this Expedition that is the best, one of the best vehicles I've ever driven in my life, and I they got me at a price that I had to have. They said that first thing that they'll ask you is, where do your payments have to be? And I said, this is what I can do. I want the best vehicle I can possibly get. And they worked it. And they worked it hard with Ford and the rebates and everything else that they could possibly do for me. And I'm telling you, if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, this is the place to go, because you know that they're working for you. They're behind the scenes getting everything they possibly can for you to put you, and you can customize it the exact way that you want. This is the way that it is, the business is right now. Go in there, tell them what you want, exactly what you want. Customize your vehicle for yourself, and then it will get to you. You know what? Right now, it's so difficult to get new cars, but Chastang Ford is getting that job done. And they'll get it to you exactly how you want it at the price that you have to have it. Go online at ChastangFord.com or get to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. You want that Ford car or truck? Go to Chastang Ford.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 7:45 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg Cosell joining us every week right here on the show to talk NFL football. Greg, I've asked this question of a few people. I want to know your opinion. Second year with Kevin Stefanski, because I'm looking to maybe draft him. Is Baker going to be better? Is he going to be a better quarterback? Is Stefanski a quarterback whisperer?
Well, I think it's not so much the quarterback whisperer. I think it's the style of offense that is a very, very good offense. I mean, you know, being in Houston, you're familiar with that style of offense because it really stems from Kubiak. And it starts with the run game. It starts with play action. They've added a lot more gap scheme runs. It used to just be predominantly zone runs, but teams play with their fronts in a way to take away a lot of outside zones. So teams have added gap scheme. The Niners have done that as well. But I think that's an offense that really helps your quarterback. There's a lot of subtlety and nuance to it. There's a lot of what looks like designed boot action, play action boot off that outside zone, but it's really not. And it plays with the rules of your second level defenders on defense. So ultimately the point I'm trying to make is I think it really helps the quarterback with defined reads and defined throws. And that helps any quarterback. Because keep in mind, guys, every quarterback is a system quarterback. That term has become, over the years, a negative pejorative term, but every offense, every pass game is taught within a system. So every quarterback is a system quarterback. The issue stems from what happens on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, when the defense, more often than not, has the tactical advantage. But I thought Baker played very well last year. I thought he played well down the stretch. But the foundation of that offense fits Baker extremely well.
Well, but you know, I do want to bring this little issue up, and that is Baker played well down the stretch when a certain wide receiver was out.
Yeah.
And the question becomes, can he play with Odell Beckham Jr.? And here's why I ask this. Odell Beckham, there is such a thing as the chemistry, and I don't know if Odell Beckham Jr. is the same player he once was. I think he's the same person. I think he's still going to demand the football. And it was clear, and I've seen numbers to this point as well, Greg, that when he targeted Odell Beckham Jr., the completion percentage was much lower, which tells you that he was forcing the ball into throws that he shouldn't make. Did you see that when you watched tape with Odell, with OBJ and
that's
Baker?
An interesting point, because if you're a quarterback and you feel you have to get the ball to a certain receiver, then that can often cause you to step outside the design of the offense. And this is an offense that really is built on scheme much more so than let's feed a receiver. So it's an interesting point. And again, you know, I don't know Odell Beckham personally. I don't know what goes on there on a daily basis, so I can't speak to that. But this is a highly schemed pass game when it's proactive, you know, as I said, when they're normal down in distance. And it's not necessarily built on, hey, let's come out and have our first five throws be to Odell to get him in the ball game. So it's a great point, one we don't really know the answer to. But I think the style of this offense, the approach of this offense, and obviously they've got a great back in Chubb. They've got a really good back in Hunt. Their O-line is probably top five in the NFL. Wyatt Teller at right guard last year played as well as any guard in the league. And I think that's another reason they added the gap scheme run game, because he was an outstanding puller in the run game. So they've got a lot of pieces on offense, but it's really system-based more so than individual-based.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And now we got Brady coming in here tomorrow, Greg. And, you know, Brady was good. I think we're misremembering. He wasn't great last year. But now in his second year with Bruce Arians, is there something to, you know, Baker's going to be with his second year with Stefanski. Is Brady going to be even better? They didn't even win the division last year. They were a wild card team that went on to win the Super Bowl.
I forgot that.
Yeah. So is he going to be better this year with Bruce?
Well, he got better as the year progressed. And the one thing that clearly stood out, a couple of things stood out. Number one, he still throws the ball very well. There was no drop in his arm strength, and he always had a better arm than I think people gave him credit for, because he had to drive the ball through the weather in New England, and he could do that. And I watched a lot of Brady this offseason, and what stands out consistently, and this is what makes Brady Brady, is repetitive mechanics, outstanding pocket awareness. He's got an aggressive throwing mindset. He turns it loose now. And his ball location, what really stood out to me over the last half of the season was his ball location was really precise. And they do a lot of things to create one-on-ones for a really good receiving core. And they have Brown, they have Evans, they have Godwin. And you start creating one-on-ones for those guys, and the NFL is very much matchup football, particularly when you're playing against man coverage. They create, through their use of personnel and formations, one-on-one matchups for those receivers. And those guys are difficult to cover one-on-one.
Greg Cosell joins us from NFL Films. He's going to be with us every Friday from 7:30 to 8 a.m. here. And if you have a question, maybe not this week, but in future weeks, if you got a question about your favorite team, you'll be able to jump in. And Greg, I can assure you, is going to have the answer. We had this discussion earlier on about COVID and the vaccine and everything. Like, you know, I thought this year would be completely different, but what it looks like, what it looks like, Greg, is the more we find out about this, and this has been, you know, it's been a fluid situation since COVID started, the information and everything else. It's starting to look to me like this year could be similar to last year in terms of teams and their concerns with losing position players and how they're going to test and things like that. Do you see this? Do you see it as being the stands being full, but the situation behind the scenes with teams and team building being similar to what we saw last year, only with vaccines being available this year being the big difference?
Yeah, that's hard for me to answer, you know, but I think it really, in addition to having an extra game, I think it's going to put a major, major premium on quality depth. So it's hard to know how that will absolutely play out. I guess I read this morning that now the league and the NFLPA are discussing getting players who are vaccinated tested every 7 days as opposed to every 14. So I don't know how all this will play out. But from a football perspective, I think depth is critical. I think it's very possible that you could lose important players in a big game. You know, and that could impact whether you make the playoffs or not. So I'm curious. I guess what I'm curious about is to see how teams use players who are considered backup players. Defense is a little different animal because normally teams, because of sub-defenses, sub-packages, end up playing 14, 15 guys routinely. But it'll be real curious to see, let's say, with offensive lines, because teams that have really good O-lines, and where O-lines are kind of the foundation, you start losing a guy or two, and we've seen that even when COVID was not a factor, but just through injury, and that changes the whole dynamic of your offense.
Greg Cosell here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg, there's a possibility we're down to three preseason games. There's a possibility we go to an 18 game schedule will be the two preseason games.
These are questions way above my pay grade.
No.
that I couldn't answer. I mean, obviously that comes down to so many factors. Money, I'm sure, being the number one factor. I'm real curious to see with 17 games because I've talked to coaches and they feel that with 17 games, they might have to even coach a little differently in terms of keeping players fresh. I mean, these teams, D-line is a real interesting position group when you add an extra game because these guys can't play 75 snaps every single week to begin with. So D-line becomes a position where depth, quality depth becomes really, really important, particularly if we start seeing more tempo by offenses, because then the defensive linemen don't get a break. So if you start seeing more tempo, which I believe will be another, I spoke earlier about using base personnel with backs and tight ends, it would not surprise me if you start seeing more tempo as well, because then you start keeping these defensive linemen out on the field more.
Yeah. No, my question was how difficult is it going to be? So we found a lot of diamonds in the rough of undrafted free agents. You know, that they had a chance in a four game preseason to make teams, and we found some, you know, some good players. Is that's going to be a lot more difficult if we get down to two preseason games, isn't it?
Well, I don't know the answer to that simply for this reason, is teams are now practicing against other teams more than ever before. And from what I understand, coaches like that more because it's a much more controlled environment. It's not a true game. So they actually, in their mind, get a better feel for evaluating players. So I think that remains to be seen. I don't think we know the answer to that.
Yeah. Greg Cosell going to join us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, breaking it down. We're just a couple of weeks away, man, and this is our final preseason game. We got Tampa in town to face our Texans this weekend, and then it's go time in a couple of weeks. Greg, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging. Thanks for agreeing to doing this all season long. We're going to have a lot of fun. We appreciate you being here, and we're looking forward to a great NFL season.
Guys, I'm really happy to be with you guys. I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking with you every week.
Yep, that's Greg Cosell. NFL Films right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And he's going to be here. So you got to listen in at 7:30 every week right here to hear what Greg Cosell thinks about what happened in this NFL season. So, taking a break. 713-780-3776. Who wants to get in here? You are more than welcome to do that. I want to talk right now about, we've got coming up the CCA golf tournament, which is going to be at Wildcat Golf Club. It's on September 13th. If you want to play, give a call right now. If you're a guy who fishes in this state, then you should support the CCA Texas. 713-626-4222. You got to help them out. They do so much for every fisherman in this state. They conserve, they enhance, they make sure that this is the best fishing state in the country. 713-626-4222. Even if you don't play golf, you can go to that, or you can go to ccatexas.org, ccatexas.org. You can donate, you can be a part of it. You can do your part because CCA Texas is doing their part. They've got the golf tournament, which is coming up, and you are going. It's brought to you by Kyrish Truck Centers. We want to give them some love. It is important that you support CCA Texas if you love to fish. 713-626-4222 or ccatexas.org.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.